Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity, LER Magazine, and MVP Parent Magazine, and Right Fit Sports Performance Wellness. Boy, we've got a great doubleheader today. Lou Vickery, he's a former New York Yankee and St. Louis Cardinals pitcher. He's a radio, TV host. He's authored numerous books. He's come back with his new book, Reach Beyond. He'll be joining me, and along with Noah Perlis. Noah is the executive director of the nonprofit Resources Limited, St. John's University Law School. But he's a national senior competitive runner sprinter. So that's going to be exciting stuff. Then the sports doctor's in. We'll answer some emails. First, I want to welcome Lou Vickery. Again, Lou had a radio show called Lou in the Morning. And I spent probably over 3 years, every month, the sports doctor would visit Lou in the Morning. We had some great shows. We really added some sports medicine stuff to all the great stuff. Lou, welcome to the sports doctor. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dr. Boss. I tell you, it's a real pleasure to be in here. You're right. I miss Lou in the Morning. I tell you, we did have some great times together, and it was, everywhere I go now, people ask me, well, when are you going to come back to radio? Well, I tell you what, Dr. Bob, I enjoy getting to the tennis court by 7:38 o'clock, so that's supplanted my radio program.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, we could do a whole show and a half. We did a lot of them with you when we talked about somebody. How old are you, Lou?
You mean how young am I?
Yes. And give or take a
couple
of weeks.
Let me tell you, can I tell you just like I tell everyone else, I just celebrated my 40th anniversary of my 39th birthday.
Wow. I knew you were going to say that. That's why I wanted to give you a tremendous, lead-in. You and I talk so much, Lou, about the challenges of youth sports, the young players coming up, all the overuse, all the concerns year-round, all the arm injuries, all these other things in the world of your world of pitching, et cetera. And we talked about some of the facts that we're still dealing with so many of the same similar types of problems. You and your business life after baseball, you were always a very, very positive guy. Give us some background with you and the Yankees and Cardinals, Lou.
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I was recently, we had a reunion. When you get a bunch of guys in their 70s that you played back in the 60s together with, you get them together, you're always better than you used to be. You know what I mean? So we used to have a group of guys to do that. And we were talking about
I heard
about
you
that,
put 1 to 2 miles an hour on your fastball each time you tell the story. To say the least. Hey, listen, the late, great Whitey Ford, wasn't he your pitching coach, Lou?
He was. Interesting thing, at Fort Lauderdale, you had the regular practice field, and then behind the regular practice field, there was an infield with a mound on it. He took me down behind that, and I've been left-handed, like himself, left-handed. He says, they all call me Lefty. Said, Lefty, I want to teach you a couple of tricks. Now, I'm not going to disclose what Whitey told me, but I tell you what, Whitey had all the tricks in the – I will give you one. File your belt to where it's razor sharp. Now, all you got to do is nick the ball just a little bit and get a little nick in it. Put that finger in there, and you make that baby do dipsy-doodle. So That was one of
It's amazing, right? The secrets, never end. There was nobody who was a tougher one-game pitcher ever, probably
than
Whitey Ford, when I think back to those late games. But I don't want to forget the fact that we mentioned, again, you still, you were out on that tennis court, you play competitive tennis, and in your age groups, you have for years and years. And, you know, we've talked so much on the Sports Doctor about what it takes to continue to play or be active in our later years. You're a you're a great example. How's your topspin backhand?
Well, because of my old pitching shoulder, I have a little problem. I play with both hands, Dr. Bob. I've learned to play right-handed as well as left-handed. And that has made the – in fact, I've got to share this with you. I've been invited to join the what they call the Grand Prix of Senior Tennis next year, which is a traveling group. And you start in Naples, Florida, and end up, in New York. So it's I won't do the whole trip, but I'm going to do some of it, and I'm looking forward to that.
It's awesome. So, yes, that's a very, very big deal. You know, we've seen the metamorphosis of athletes. Look at Tom Brady, 43 years old, still at the top of his game. It's a lot different. But the idea that we see, whether my second guest, Noah Perlis, is running competitively sprinting in his early 70s, or you're going to national tournaments in your late 39s, then this is really something that, again, is a terrific achievement. And it takes a lot mentally and physically, not only to get there, but to stay there. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you can go back, 10 years, international guests, and so many different topics. Listen to whatever you'd like. If you want earlier shows than that, we got to get out the reel-to-reels that we did, a couple decades ago. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an endless array of great stuff, much that I've participated in with Lower Extremity Review or MVP Parent Magazine or some of these other areas, all sorts of different excitement. And again, we have a great following on Twitter, over 30,000 followers. Can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. Noah, I met on LinkedIn. Tremendous area of knowledge in so many areas, so much expertise. And you can follow me at Sports Doc. We're talking with a former pitcher, Lou Vickery. Lou, again, had not only the exciting career making the major leagues, he was a very successful businessman. He was very involved in the whole motivational, mental side of things. He still is. And his latest book, really, Reach Beyond, is a great compilation of a lot of wisdoms that you've saved up that you've talked about for a long time, right, Lou?
That's exactly right, Doc. Doc, I got to mention one thing. I don't know if you recall, I was having some problem with my feet a number of years back, 6 or 7 years ago, and you made a recommendation to me. And let me tell you, I never ran on a tennis court about as good as anyone my age, and I'm real proud of that. My whole shoulders may not be very good, but my feet and legs are still good.
Yes, the idea, again, whatever your sport is, whatever the level is, whatever your age is, the role of the foot is a very, very big deal. So being in an optimum shoe for you that fit properly, and then the custom orthotics, that's the gold program, when we also include some strengthening. I would bug Lou in the morning, man, get him to do that. Now, the two exercises that we make such a big deal on, strengthen those feet and ankles, learn some rubber bands, learn how to do these kinds of exercises, and get on those balance boards, get some stability training, whether it's your back or your hips or your feet and ankles. And, of course, Lou listened. That's why he's a champion. What's the site, Lou, people can go to? I mean, you've written for 12, 13, 14 books to find out about you and everything you're doing.
Yeah, I want to mention one thing about Reach Beyond. Reach Beyond is about 40 stories in there about people real bear struggles to overcome. And, you know, it's interesting to note that not everybody needs to, I guess it's a kind of encouragement and that type of motivation to move on and, as I call it, reach beyond. But there are people that do. And this book is written for a person that maybe has struggled a little bit trying to find their footing, and they want to maybe find a little inspiration, because we really talk about people and that had particular goals, they had dreams, had desires, they wanted to move on and to reach beyond where they were. And so the book is really kind of geared for people like that, or somebody that has slipped back a little bit. You know, Dr. Bob, sometimes we don't stay right on the top of our game. You know, we hang a curveball here, or there's a fastball there, and it happens in baseball, it happens in life. And so this is for that individual that maybe needs a little bit of encouragement, needs a little, if you will, a little substance that can get them moving back toward maybe the performance levels they've had in the past. So that's kind of where the book is geared.
Yes, and so they could get on Amazon, but they want to take a look at your repertoire, your TV show, your books. What's the website they go to?
They can go to LouVickeryBooks.com. Now, that I was visiting with those folks today, so they may have it down today to improve it, but I can promise you they can read about some of my previous books and also Reach Beyond.
Yes.
You can get Reach Beyond. Yes. At Amazon, you can find it, you know, ask your favorite bookstore. It may not be there yet, but it will be. So,
right. Well, we're jumping the gun, man. There is no more important time in this world to get some positive energy and some great ideas and stories about some of the principles that a lot of us have been tripping over. And now, with the COVID-19 challenge. Again, there is nobody in the world who's not affected by this, whether they're professional athletes, yes, whether they are parents of young athletes, whether they're parents of young school children. It is a nightmare. And this is, and I've spoken about it before on the Sports Dr. Lou, this is probably the biggest challenge that we as humans are facing, which is, and Americans also, absolutely, how are we going to handle this new normal?
Different. Let me share real quickly one thought with you. You know, one of the things I talk about early in the book are the things that hold us back. And one of the, you know, fears, we have so many, we're not scared of being so successful. We're sometimes afraid to stick our neck out simply because we don't know what the result is going to be. But, you know, life is built on kind of shifting sands a little bit. You have to learn to make adjustments. You have to learn to, as I call it, you have to, if you look at it from an athletic standpoint, you have to learn how to fail. You got to be able to stay a failure now to be super successful. And I think sometimes we try to play the middle road, and that's where we are somewhat now. Is because of this COVID thing, we're not sure. It's a lot of shifting sand. We're not sure where we're going to light. But I just feel like that if we do the right kind of things, we can come out on the other side and be a winner.
I agree. I think it's a tremendous challenge. And I've had various experts on in the world of sports medicine talking about the mental challenge it's been, Lou, at whatever level of sport the athlete was involved with. The canceling of games, oh, the season's canceled, oh, and the kinds of anxieties was a big deal, according to the sports psychology world at all sorts of different levels, besides just regular existence, you know, sometimes for the rest of us. But it's been a very, very big deal, whether it's a high school athlete, college athlete, season was called off, it wasn't. Playing a 60-game season, so it's really, really been crazy. A lot of these experts, Lou, have talked about how difficult it's been, and there's a lot of concern about that, about anxieties and overdoing medications. And, it's, you know, with our nightmare here of sometimes that we have with pain pills. So Again, in the last couple of minutes, one of my favorite books you wrote was The Shades of Grey.
Yeah, it's got a touch of gray, right? That's great.
Touch of Grey, yes. It's a tremendous story interracial relationships. Give us a quickie with that, Lou, before we run out of time.
Well, that book is really a story about two kids growing up in the Deep South in the 50s and their best friends. And one is about black and the other was white. And they just, to them, it was a friendship. But the unfortunate cultural differences took over as they grew older. But, boy, that friendship lasted for a lifetime. So, and I, Dr. Bob, I live that, so I understand it very much. You know, one of the things I'm proud of, and I want to say this, is I was the first white to room with a black in the Carnegie Hall.
Yes.
And I asked for that.
Yes.
In 1960.
Yes, I tremendous story, again, that you shared with me in one of our numerous shows. And the book was a fantastic, great example of the reality of, yes, which you lived. And I hope people can pay attention to that as well as some of your new stuff. Give me a quickie. How do they find you? So, again, if they go to your website, how do you like
the
TV
to my
experience?
They go to my website, LouVickleyBooks.com, or they can go to my author page at Amazon. That's the place to make the purchase of the books. But Touch of Grey is there. You got Reach Beyond. I have some. My grandmother was an Indian, so I've written, in her honor, I've written a book about the Creek Indians. So
How do you like, we got about a minute. How do you like quickly, Lou, the TV world? Are they taking good care of you?
I'm doing them. In fact, gracious, I'm glad you mentioned that. You can go to uptalktv.com and you can find my show. It's
I'm looking for a visit. I'm looking for a visit from the sports doctor, my friend, Lou Vickery, former New York Yankee, St. Louis Cardinal, multiple author, Reach Beyond. Lou, thanks so much. Hold on.
Dr. Bob, I say...
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag HeySportsParents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Noah Perlis. He's the executive director of a nonprofit, Resources Limited, St. John's University School of Law. But he's also a national senior competitive runner, sprinter. And that's how he gets on to the Sports Doctor. Hey, Noah Perlis, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Baugh, for having me.
Ray, give us some background on you and your running. And, again, you're running into your 70s, you're competing. So give us some background.
Well, I'll try to be on point. I'm known to go off into side stories, but to try to summarize, I started running for myself when I was a youngster in high school and college, and then I took a break. I was competitive at a local level in New York City. I had a lot of fun with it, and no superstar by any means, but did well for my college, and it was fun. And years later,
what did you run, Noah?
Oh, I specialized in 200 meters. Actually, today I say okay. I specialize in 175 meters, but 200 meters was my race. And I would go down a little bit, but sometimes up to 400. So today, older sprinters are a rarity because it's a lot of wear and tear.
That's explosive, though. One of the most difficult physically race distances explosively is that 400 meters, that quarter mile, man. That's like someone sprinting for the quarter mile. It's another reason we had you on.
That 400 is a very, very big test of strength endurance. Ooh. And everyone hits a wall. It's universal. And the only thing tougher I did in college was a 400-meter hurdles where they actually put 10 hurdles in your way, and that's like the worst. And Edward Moses ran that for years. But basically, I enjoyed running, and years later, fast forward, I was approaching 40, and somehow I was overweight. And I heard about Masters sprinting competition. So I said, well, maybe that's something I could still do and have fun. I went out on the track and tried a little bit just to get in the form. And when you hit the form, like many other sports, especially, the bat sports, baseball or tennis or golf, you hit that sweet spot. It feels just so right and so powerful. It's well done. Same thing with the sprinting form or maybe other distance running or biking. You get in the groove, and it just feels you control your body and power. It's really empowering. So,
what's interesting is that it's very physically demanding to come back in your 40s as a sprinter and stay out of injury problems. Really, yeah. So that puts you in a special category. That's challenging. You must have done a lot of things right. You must have had orthotics
a lot of things
in your shoes.
I did a lot of things wrong along the way. I'm still doing them wrong. We never learn. We have a certain mentality where we redline it because it's a very dangerous thing to do as you get older and your body is more frail. You don't have stride as well.
You've got to train for it, man.
Yeah. You lose flexibility.
You've got to train for it.
Yeah. And I would not recommend.
That's what we pay big attention to on the Sports Doctor. My first guest, Lou, like you said, you listen, Lou's still a competitive tennis player. He's almost 80, besides being a former baseball player, professional baseball player. And again, you're at the elite of the elite when you're doing competitive track at any distance in your 70s. So, the challenge of staying there, keeping our body fit enough, flexible enough, strong enough, is something that, you can't just go back to the sport unless you're real lucky. And what's kept you physically still running sprints?
Well, I did learn my lessons over going back into it. And you're 100% right. And I've seen people make the mistake of thinking they could do as they're older what they do when they were younger, and they rush in and they blow an injury and it just ruins them. You have to be patient with it. It's a lot of fun. There's a whole system about camaraderie, and you don't always do it just to excel and be the top. You aim for that, but really we're doing running against ourselves. We're trying to improve and stay healthy and make good friends and have a lot of fun.
What are some of the national events? What are some of the national events or organizations that you're part of? If you're still competing, are you part of a club? Are you part of a group?
Yeah, that's what got me into it. When I came into it, I knew I was a sprinter and wanted to focus. And when I surveyed what was going on in running, almost everyone was running distance races, which has had its resurgence. And I never had the aerobic base. But I did go in some distance just to see if I can get in shape. But really, I looked for a team, and I advise everyone to find a club with a team. If they want to run relays and find other people to train with, to travel with, in their specialty, whether it's, you know, a field event or anything, it's just really important to have that camaraderie. And we support each other. Even our competitors are so nice. We want them to do better, to push ourselves to do better. And it's psychologically, it's the one kind of rare thing where when you get older, because your measures in five-year age brackets, you actually look forward to turning in 75 or 70 or 65. Now you're the young kid on the block because everyone measures you in five-year increments.
It's a great point of view.
There's even age grading. You can go around the world and see how you age graded against competitors and measure up. So I was fortunate over time to belong to two clubs, which allowed me to run some of the most major relays in the East Coast, maybe the country, that allows masters competitors. One is the Millrose Games, which is now
the famous Millrose Games.
And I never ran in the old garden, but I did run where I trained. It's now over at the Armory, which is an amazing, you know, it's the fastest track in the world. It's my home base, and it's like being in heaven. And the Millrose Games is televised 100 years, but they put in a few events just for masters, men and women, 40 and up, 50 and up, and 60 plus. So I was able to compete and have a lot of fun.
What they put in?
They just have a separate sections. They get us off really fast, and you know it's in the afternoon, but we get a chance to shine and compete, and you know get medals and not
same distances.
With the regular program.
Yes,
it's the 4x4. No, they only do the 4x400. They gear that. But throughout the year, there are other events that masters can go into, and we have our own specialty events. So we have a full slate of competition if we want to, regionally, locally, nationally, internationally. It doesn't go to the smaller cities, unfortunately. It's mostly in the major populated areas. And people do travel. They travel, you know, great distances just to have fun with it. The other big event, which is incredible, is the Penn Relays, which is, you know, in a class by itself. And that's also majestic. And they honor the masters, and they let us run a few events. And if you watch it Saturday afternoons when it's televised for the greatest, you know, championship runoffs, they throw in the oldest seniors in 100 meters, and the crowd goes crazy. They really support the seniors. It's a wonderful thrill, you know, to go there. And there they have
what are the age events. What are the age groups in the world of seniors, like 50s, 60s, 70s?
It starts from 30, just sort of a submaster, right. But you can compete.
What's the world record in the 100 for 70s?
Well, let's see. I think it's
roughly.
It's in the 12s, okay? And
impressive.
You have to realize there's about a 22% adjustment from the best time when you're young to when you get old. They do these measurements. So I was fortunate on my record-setting relay team I put together for the 4x4. I was able to grab the one man in the world who is, you know, by far the best in his class, you know, Charles Ali out of Pittsburgh. The man is 70 years old. Twice he was awarded the greatest master runner in the entire world of masters running. And he came in, and he, just to point out, he set two records individually year before last. He's 70 years old, and he's able to run a 400 meters under 59 seconds, down to 58.
Wow. Now,
the
world record, the world 400-meter record in this day and age is what?
Oh, it's down below 43.
Okay. I was going to say, it's in the low 40s. So here you got a guy 70 years old who's running what? 50 what?
58, and he's a world record holder. And he runs a 200 in the 25s. He's unique by himself. There are a few people that are close to him, but, you know, he's a great champion. And he only knows one speed. We call him one speed, Charlie. But he goes
what
out
are you
and
running?
Stays with it.
Are you running, Noah?
Right when I was doing it with him, I was competitive, and I was over 70, and I ran 69 roughly, and three of us ran 69, and he ran a 59, and we smashed the world record by like 20 seconds. It's said a real mark of achievement as you get to be 50 and over is to run the 400 in your age for your time. If you're 60 and you can run a 60,
right,
that's great. He ran 12 seconds under. And we ran one or two under, and that's quite an achievement, and we're very proud of it. But it's hard to get four old guys together at the same time.
Yes,
at the
it
same
is.
Place
oh,
without
you're
injuries.
You're really talking one out of tens of thousands who can even smell what you're doing physically and hold up, whether it's their back or their knees or their feet or their body, let alone to be competitive. So, you know, you're already in a very, very elite company. How long have you done the competitive since your 40s and 50s? You've been doing it 20-something years again?
Well, I came back, started slowly when I was 40. It took about 2 years to get somewhat competitive. And then I blew out a muscle, not listening to my instinct, for 5 years when I was 45. I lost 5 years. I didn't have your advice to get healthy, who to turn to. I tried all modalities. I pulled a hamstring. It was stupid, but I knew it. But, you know, my ego got ahead of me, and I shouldn't have done a certain race a certain way. And over the years where I've had injuries, it's because I didn't have good medical advice or didn't have good shoes or did something silly. And that goes across all sports. And your listeners are not just track runners, and so much more so if you're doing and you're running transverse. I only had to run one direction. All these sports and these people are going soccer and baseball. And I just had one of my major guys, he's 70. I had him lined up for the new world record attempt we want to do in March. And he slid playing baseball last week. And he's in a brace for 6 weeks. Tore his rotator cuff, had surgery.
Yes, it happens.
But injuries. But he's proud. He scored the run.
Yeah. Yes. Right. You know, injuries happen. Many times we talk on the Sports Doctor about chronic overuse, repetitive problems, especially as we get older, you know, that goes into them. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm the Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. So many great guests, so many great topics. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, again, you could read an endless array of great stuff. What's the best shoe? What about women in high heels, the world of concussions, et cetera? And we will be back with competitive sprinter into his 70s, give or take a few weeks, Noah Perlis. This is the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Noah Perlis. He's a competitive sprinter into his 70s. He was giving us some great background. But I wanted to ask you, Noah, I know you had some serious heart concerns at one time, and talk a little bit about how that woke you up and made you pay a whole lot of new attention.
And for many people, and I try to share my experience to get them to be more aware of good health. And what happened with me was about 7 or 8 years ago, I did a life insurance exam, and they checked my heart out. And I found out afterwards that there was a measurement they found that had a slight aneurysm, so a little bulge in the artery, which typically they classified it. It was minor, but at first I freaked out. I read about it, and I thought, oh, my, it's going to explode.
Scary, scary.
But then you get used to it, and I got a clearance to run. They said, just monitor it. And all these years, it has not changed. Thank God, it's been great. However, because I had this, I found myself the best cardiologist I could find by referral. So I would go in for a yearly checkup before the season began. And in
March
2014, he told me, listen, I'm hearing a slight blood regurgitation in one of the valves. So far, it's minor, and you're okay to run. If you feel good, run. And I had no symptoms, but I got to tell you, we're going to monitor it. And if it becomes a problem, we're going to have to address it. That's all he said. I put it out of my mind. I go about my business. I train hard. When I train, it's exhausting. I train anaerobically. I kill myself. I shouldn't, but I run almost 100% with intervals. I'm wiped out. And then, you know, I only do it 2 or 3 times. Everybody has to recover. Come a year later, I go in.
How old are you then? January.
Well, I'm just turned 73 last week, so I was 68.
Okay.
I go back for my annual, and he's listening to my heart. And he says, well, I got to tell you, you got to get tested. I'm hearing too much cold regurgitation. The blood was not flowing out. You could hear it with a stethoscope. So, you know, I'm compliant. I'm smart. I said, well, what does this mean? Practically, because I think running is just, don't run, just stop, and we'll get you tested. We'll find out exactly what's going on, and we'll come up with a solution. I had to stop at the beginning of my indoor season. I was not happy about it, but, you know, first things first. They tested all sorts of tests. They found exactly what it was, and we both researched the best remedy, which was here in NYU and the Cleveland Clinic. What happened was I have a mitral valve, and the valve was fine, but the valve is held together by 3 cords, they're called cordi, that attach. And
so it was a surgical problem?
It was a surgical repair.
It was a surgical problem? You fixed it?
Robotically. They fixed it with a robot.
Okay, excellent. And, now, the mental challenge.
The key is coming back.
How'd you do?
Well, I did great because I was in good shape going in. I had a very positive attitude. But what I want to share with everyone is that I had no symptoms. And many people, especially in the area of, you know, heart, the heart can have a heart attack. It's called a widowmaker. If you die, or you could be injured, and there are no symptoms. And people too often, especially if they're athletic, they confuse good conditioning with good health, and they don't get regular checkups. They go along, and without a checkup, you don't really know what's going on inside.
Yeah. You'd think in this day and age, Noah, you know, and again, awareness is a very, very important part of the educational side of everything we do on The Sports Doctor. That's why it's such a pertinent story that even in this day and age, the importance of attention, of proactive, getting checked, following through is something that is very, very important, because you could be walking around, not have any symptoms. This has gotten a lot of attention with COVID, because 40% of the people who are transferring virus are not symptomatic. So this whole idea of paying attention is like right in front of our face, yet we can't say it enough. So when was the last event you were in, Noah?
Well, I was training early in, you know, 2020, and everything had to stop. I was going fairly well in February, and then, of course, March came, and I've been self-quarantined, you know, to be on the cautious side since, and just recently started training nearby track to get geared up again. They are having some indoor meets, very strict restrictions on, you know, how people are coming in and with masks and controlled. They have a 6-lane track. They're only running 2 lanes at a time opposite, to really give high school and college kids a chance to do well for scholarships later on.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can. You know,
we're doing the best we can.
You know, it's such a challenge. Again, whether you are a professional athlete in the NFL whose games have been canceled or whatever, or you were a high school athlete wondering if you're going to play, or is the scholarship, are they playing, aren't they playing? It's crazy. And your sport, it's nice to hear that there is some returning with tremendous safety, doing the best we can. Because, again, one of the things we talked about with Lou Vickery and with others, which was the mental challenge, like you said, it all stopped. You know, it's been months. I miss it. I'm depressed, et cetera. This is a very real problem, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and I think there's a solution that's coming along the way. The people that are listening that are interested in sports for themselves or their parents, if they're middle-aged or their kids, now there are competitions that are virtual. You still can go out and get your exercise if you feel the need to compete. You can go safely with someone else and do marathons and 5Ks and even track events virtually. It doesn't have to be the end of zero. And, you know, in some way, the virtual competition is more fair when you have the national competitions. It used to be only people who could afford to travel would have a chance to get medals. And if you couldn't afford to travel around the country to these big meets, you were shut out and you were the better talent. Now it's much more equitable. It takes getting used to. It is not the same. You want to go head-to-head with your competition, but it's not always possible. But getting out and being active, it certainly helps the mental case that we've all been challenged with.
Yes, it's very difficult. We talk about it on the Sports Doctor a lot. It's a simple thing, but it's very, very difficult to be upset or hassled or anxious when you're exercising. When you're exercising, it's tough to not be in a decent mood. It's one of the magic parts of keeping moving. So it's great to see, and you're keeping in shape. How much running do you do, Noah? We're going to run out of time. Do you do in your world of sprinting? How many miles would you run a week?
Under 1 mile. I have a very abbreviated warm up. I put less wear and tear on my body. I've learned how to do it very quickly, warming up, and I do intervals that are always less than a mile, twice a week, and I recover, and it's enough to keep me going. Many of us, we've learned less is more. We back off as we get older. We do quality work, and we don't beat ourselves up. Recovery is key to age when you age. Absolutely.
Do you do some gym work, off-track training? You must.
I'm very, very bad with that. I've got a gym here, and it's just, make excuses to get down. So to me, it's if I did it and I didn't perform better, I'd have no excuse. Now I know I could do better if I just do what you're saying, the gym work and everything else. So
it's hard to argue with success. Again, you're one in a million. When we're talking about someone who's competitively sprinting in their 70s, you are truly that elite. And again, staying healthy physically with all sorts of overuse injuries, many times being one of our biggest culprits from trying to stay in the game and the emphasis on sometimes at the same time trying to enhance performance. And that's a great combination. And it's exciting to see that whether it's tennis on the one hand or running, but sprinting again is another animal, Noah. A lot of commendability here from the Sports Doctor for someone who's running sprints in Millrose games and 10 games in their 70s. It's great stuff.
Well, thank you. And all of us that do it, we're very grateful. We're gratitude. Go out and train every day at a time. We're thrilled to
do it.
What's the website? And we don't take it for granted.
Noah, where can people find out about you and your races? Do you have a site quickly?
No. I don't have a website. But if they want to learn about racing and what's out there, they should go to the initials USATF, United States Athletic Track and Field, USATF. They're USATF in many cities. There's a national one. And they can learn about races going on. They could become
yes,
a member for
they can see what's happening. See
and
more
see
about
happening.
What different age groups. I want to thank you so much for joining us, Noah Perlis. Guy's still a competitive runner, successful in the world of business ABCD. And we'll be right back with Sports Doctors In. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. We talk about some upcoming shows, answer a few emails, talk a little bit of some of the important concepts in the whole Hey Sports Parents world. Next week from New Zealand, Anthony Sheriff talking about high performance mentally, his show, The Top 2 Inches of Sport. And then returning, Teresa Power. Teresa's had Yoga for Kids, International Yoga Day, National Yoga Day, tremendous stuff for the kids. You want to catch her the following week. My old sports medicine colleague, Rick Segill, will be joining us. It'll be great to talk about some memories with Rick. I think he did too, was part of the Olympic boxing team physicians when I first met him. And Brad LaRoe, he's involved with one of our sponsors, Right Fit. He works with the Challenges of Disabilities. He runs one of their facilities. That's what we got coming up. Let's see what we have here. Paul says, my 13-year-old daughter plays tennis almost every day. She's had Achilles tendon problems. She's still in physical therapy. This is part of the second year. You know, Paul, 13 years old, there's still some active growth that's just finishing. When the problem's persistent, you want to look at orthotics. And you want to look at, besides the physical therapy, strengthening. You want to pay attention that she's in the best shoe for her. But when we're talking chronic, and persistent, then whether it's the Achilles, whether it's the arch, whether it's their ankles, proper orthotics are helpful. So you want to include that in your investigation with very good results. Steve says, my 15-year-old son, he's a great basketball player. He's involved in high school. He's been dealing with this knee problem, Osgood Schlatter. You know, Steve, kids grow, and they grow very actively in the mid-later teens. Usually young boys, 15 years old, they could still be aggressively growing. Osgood Schlatter is the inflammation of the attachment of the kneecap tendon, patella tendon, the attachment on the front of the shin bone. So when that kid is growing aggressively, the bones grow faster than the tendons allow, and the attachments get angry. That's Osgood Schlatter. What's important to understand is if there's a foot imbalance, and it's not unusual at all, many times excessive pronation, then that torque that's part of the foot imbalance is aggravates, perpetuates Osgood. So you really want to include that in paying attention. You can't run and jump through Osgood Schlatter. You need some intelligent rest. Perry says, you mentioned in all sports the two essential exercises. I do, Perry. I talked about it with my two superstars today. And I don't care what your age is, or what your sport is, or what your level is. I just want you to include, big time, strengthening the feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. You can work full range of motion. You can work on stability. Technique is involved. You want to learn what you're doing, but it's very, very simple. And athletic trainers, physical therapists can help you or your son or daughter. And the key is you want to always include it. If you want more speed, more explosiveness, more power, you want to strengthen those feet and ankles. And my second exercise includes it. Balance. You want to work balance boards. things like the Sand Dune Stepper, this incredible creative device. Go to Instagram. Sand Dune Stepper simulates strengthening, walking, moving in the sand. Works all areas of the feet and lower legs for balance and stability. Bosu's great. That imbalance sear. Tilt boards, great. So when we're talking strengthening the whole core, the midsection, low back, the hips, the knees, and then creating imbalance, my famous Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement Award winner, Bob Guida, that I spent decades with, every athlete he worked with, whether it was John McEnroe, whether it was Jim McMahon, whether it was Walter Payton, whether it was Jimmy Connors, whoever it was, he was including working balance. He was creating instability with unstable surfaces. One of his most famous was the oscillating balance beam. So strengthening the feet and ankles, number one, and working balance is number two. We talk about that a lot. We include it. It's one of the key chapters in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where we want to be, again, paying attention. Those two, we don't want to replace everything. We just want to include it. Regardless of your sport or level. We had some glitches in the website with Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctor's in. I think it's fixed. And again, we're working through 20 different experts, like in the book, where we've got experts in nutrition, in physical training, mental training, coaching, parenting, all areas of youth sports, and paying attention to being able to give advice, to recommend references, to recommend referrals. And as the sports doctor, I'm the quarterback. And if there's a sports medicine problem, very well I might deal with it myself and include some expertise, whether it's in rehab, physical therapy, et cetera. If it's problems like we've had some, in the world of fitting of figure skating boots. Everybody knows how closely I work in the world of figure skating with Mr. Edge, John Hermata. And so it depends what the question is. Katie Davis, one of our experts in the world of nutrition, RKK Nutrition for Sports Performance, somebody we refer to a lot, Rob Andrews, the Institute of Sports Performance. He's worked with all the gold medalists in women's gymnastics. So we have tremendous array of expertise to be able to guide. I tell parents, coaches all the time, what's your game plan? Depends on the level. Youth sports is a $20 billion a year industry. It's why eventually you're going to see our documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports, produced by, written by one of our frequent guests, Joel Franco. And we've been held up, but it's going to happen. And the idea of the Hey Sports Parents world is, again, based on how serious this stuff is. Not everybody's in championship form or schedules. Understood. In the beginning of the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, my co-author, Hall of Famer, Sharky Zartman, talks about all different levels of sports. So it's a big deal. You want a game plan. www.thesportsdoctor.online. Everybody, stay safe. Stay informed. See you next week. Thank you.